So the last time I sub for Daniel, he had mentioned it was in the lectionary, calendar, church calendar year. It was Christ King Sunday, and I thought that's a good topic. So this year, when he asked me to preach again, I went to the lectionary and looked, and I saw that it's Trinity Sunday. And I thought, you know what? I don't think I've ever preached on the Trinity. I've taught on the Trinity, but I don't think I've ever done a sermon about the Trinity. I did a little Google, a keyword search on my computer, and I was looking through all the old stuff, and nada. And I said, I asked myself, well, Tom, why haven't you preached on the Trinity? And I says to myself, three good reasons. I said, one, it's this theological construct idea, right? And theology, boring, right? It just is. Unless you're a theology geek sort of like me, but other than that. Two, it's complicated. It's almost impossible. Well, I'll rephrase it. It is impossible to fully explain. It is beyond our idea, and I'll get to that in a minute about what it is and why I'd say that, but it's mysterious and ultimately unexplainable. And if you doubt me, which you may, next time confirmation class comes around, you teach this section on the Trinity to a bunch of seventh graders as they go, I have been there. But the most important reason is while I have read a lot about the Trinity and studied about the Trinity, you've got to do that to get through preacher school type of thing, I have never really thought about this question, so what? And you know what? When I come to church in the morning, and I'm going to assume you're like me on Sunday mornings, you want to come and say, but what does this have to do with me in my life, in my situation, my problems, the world's problems? So what? The Trinity. I get it. Trinity, boop, move on. But that's what I'd like to spend some time on. Now, quick disclaimer, this will be a right off the top surface skimming of the Trinity. If you want to go deep, you may make a career of it. You can read a whole full year about the Trinity, and you will not make a dent in the pile of books you can accumulate about this subject because it's big. It's hard. So what I want to do is start about what the Trinity is and what it's not. I'm not going to spend a lot of that this time, but I think having a foundation of that is going to help us a little bit. So here's what we believe about the Trinity. We believe that God is one. We have one God. Yes? Foundational, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons who are distinct, equal, and eternal persons, but we believe in one God. Simple, right? Maybe not. Okay, let me turn it around and walk onto the negative side of that and say what isn't the Trinity, in case you're trying to make. So, yeah, but I can fix it in my mind. Well, okay. Here's what it is not. It is not three gods, only one God. It is not three forms of God. Like if you had H2O, you'd have the form of liquid, gas, or ice, right? Solid. Not that. It's not three forms of God. It's just one God, three distinct people. And it's not three pieces of God. God's not divided into thirds, right? So, simple, right? Easy to get if you're a seventh grader. Lock right in. So some metaphors might help. That's what I always go to when I'm teaching this, is some metaphors. But here's the problem with the metaphors. It only gets you a little close. The church typically, lots of Trinity symbols in our stained glass. Dr. Paul could tell you about all those. But the church used the clover for a long time. You see that as a symbol oftentimes. That's a Trinity. That's a Trinitarian symbol. Three leaves, clover, you know. We talk about water, but that doesn't work for that reason. Well, water's three things at once. Maybe. We talk about people's roles. They can be a father, a son. So you have matter made up of matter into the very fabric of the universe. Is that pretty cool? So I like this idea. But they aren't beings that act independently, right, and loving. So it gets us close. We get an idea, but it's not it exactly. Ultimately, they all fall short because we're talking about a God who loves and acts and creates. So simple, not so much. Now, quick sidebar, where does this come from? So if it's so mysterious, where do we get it? Well, we know about God by what God chooses to reveal to us. He's the creator, so kind of by necessity, by logical necessity, we can only know God by what he chooses to reveal, right? So we do it primarily three ways, though we can throw the Holy Spirit in there communicating to us as well. But we know it through creation, right? Even the Bible talks about the heavens bear witness to God, the stars praise his name, we get that, right? We know there's a creator, so we can kind of reverse engineer. There's a God who has order about him. So we know something about God. We know a lot about, mostly all about God through the Bible, through the Word, and in the Bible, we know mostly about God through his most complete revelation was through Jesus, right? And today, we get amplification on that through the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read the Bible, if you just said, I'm going to take a month, I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to read it through the lens of looking for the Trinity in there, you will see it everywhere, you know, if you're looking for it. But let me just give you one example. So you know I'm shooting you straight. Let's talk about the creation story. So the Bible begins this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface. So you had God, and you had the Word spoken, you had the Spirit of God hovering over the surface. So if you had any doubt, John puts that all together for you and says, in the beginning, sounds like what we just read, the Word already existed. Now, God created through the Word, right? In Genesis, he spoke, but the Word already existed. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. And the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So John makes a circle for us. If you're looking for the Trinity, it starts right there, page one. So that's our basis. Now let's get to the so what question. So what does that matter about anything? Three things I want to talk to you about. First thing is that when I think of the Trinity, I am very grateful because it reminds me that we have a very big God, right? And I don't know about you, but I don't want a God that's equal to me or smaller than me. If I can understand everything there is to understand about God, he's probably not God, right? He's probably some version of my ego there, because that's what we tend to do, right? We want to make God into our own image. We'd love it if we could have God in our pocket and pull it out whenever we wanted to, rub the little idol's head and say, we need this. And God never, never, ever, ever allows that. And people try all the time. We want to make you in our image. We want you to do what we want to do. We'll do the work if you'll do this for us, right? Not happening, right? When life gets hard, and when life gets complicated and difficult, I used to not be this way when I first got out of seminary, but the longer I live, the more I appreciate and count on mystery. Because I want to know that whatever I'm facing, whatever the situation is, God's bigger than that, right? So I find peace in that, and I hope that you will too. We just can't understand everything. We can know God, but we can't know everything. That's a good thing. Secondly, we're in relationship with God through the Trinity. So if God is Trinity, we relate to God through the Trinity. A quote I read researching this, I think is very good. It's very simple, it's very succinct. He says, we know God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, that's it, right? That's a good so what, is it not? So when we say our creed, did you notice? Trinitarian. When we say our sacraments, we had a baptism last week, we did communion once a month, it's Trinitarian, right? It goes through the Trinity. We lay it out. Our prayers reflect the Trinity. We pray to God in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans 8:26, he says, sometimes when we don't know how to pray, when we're just groaning, when we're coming before God and we are lost, the Holy Spirit intercedes with us and offers our prayers up, right? We know God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's what Jesus said in the Great Commission, right? Last thing he said in the book of Matthew, he's leaving. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Because we go through God. Through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was reminded of something, I told you guys I read the Daily Text by J.D. Walt. He was talking about Maxie Dunham, who you guys know, was president of the seminary when I was there. And Maxie's a close talker. So he gets right up to you. And Maxie's a wonderful person. But here's what he'd say. I was just reminded of this because I thought, this is so good. Maxie, you put your hands on his shoulder, and he gets to you, and he's got this wonderful, kind, round face. And he says, the Spirit of Jesus in me greets the Spirit of Jesus in you and brings us together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know. When Maxie does it to you, you say, that's truth. Right there. So Jesus says, I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. And Paul says in the scripture I've read, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Right? And that's what Maxie was talking about. Okay. Third thing is really what I want to focus on, though, is that if God is the Trinity, we are made in the image of God. Okay? So and the image of God is communal. Right? If that's three distinct people that make up the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is communal, and it means it is in relationship, and it means that God is love, because relationships are dynamic, right? They're moving, they're active, they're hard, they're messy. But, 1 John says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Love seeks relationships. And we are made in that image for community, right? John Wesley says, the Bible, quoting him exactly, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. The Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. We are made in that image for community. I want to submit something to you that you may disagree with, and we can argue about it sometime over coffee. It would be great. But I'm going to say that when Paul says we're to grow into the full image and stature of Christ, I'm going to submit to you that will not happen, that cannot happen, unless it is done in community and relationships. So even Paul, when he's writing about this, all through the Pauline letters, he uses the word you all the time. In the Greek, and in English, we only have one word for you, for us, plural or singular. In the Greek, it has a plural form of you. And so most of the time when you read Paul and he says you, we read it as me. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Oh, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Or Christ lives in you. Oh. But what he says is, the Holy Spirit lives in y'all, right? Use guys for you for you from Minnesota. It's communal, right? So, greatest commandment. Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, spirit, right? Everything you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. Oh my goodness, we have a trinity. We have me, someone else, and God. So Jesus would say, wherever two or three are gathered with you, there I am also. Oh, community once again. Ten commandments, first four about God, next six about our relationships with other people. It's not bad to have, we have a personal relationship with God. It's not bad to have alone time with God. I wouldn't object if you wanted to spend a month in the woods contemplating scripture and reading and self-examination. That's all good. But at some point, if you don't come off of the mountain and down to the street and find out what real mercy is about, what it really means to forgive somebody or to be forgiven or to ask for mercy or to love somebody that you find difficult to love, then that's not growth in the Spirit. That's not becoming like Christ, right? Because it becomes self-serving. And that's not what Jesus was about. It's not what God is about. It's not what the Holy Spirit is about. We grow through relationships. It's always about us. It is in community that we reveal what all those things really mean. What it means to love somebody. You can't do it just with yourself or with, even with you and God. It's always got a lateral component to it. That's why we worship together, right? That's why we start our week this way in community. It's why it's so important. Did COVID not teach us that? I mean, if we didn't learn anything from COVID, it's that, you know what, being isolated, you go down, right? You get worse. I got worse. That's why I tell people to go to church. I can remember visiting somebody in the hospital in Fayetteville. And there's a big church there, and I was a pastor. I'd been there about 3 years. Visited a guy in the hospital, and he didn't know me from Adam. And so I introduced myself. He was a church member. I knew he was on the rolls. I visited him. And he's like, who are you? And I said, well, I'm the pastor at your church. And he goes, oh, a little embarrassed. He goes, well, you know, I worship on my sailboat on Sundays. And I thought, you know, I just smiled and nodded my head. But I thought, did you, you know, did you sing hymns with somebody? Did you share some scripture? Did you pray together with somebody? Probably not, right? It's not that you can't meet God in the woods. It's just that there's got to be more than that. And, you know, I'm thankful for our TV ministry. Many people watch that can't come. I'm glad for that. It was a godsend during COVID. But I will make a confession to you here today. If you don't judge me too harshly, judge me a little bit. I deserve that. But I watched at home like everybody else. We would say, oh, time for service, turn it on. We'd get it set up ahead of time. We'd get our hymnals out because we have hymnals at home. We'd be ready to sing along while I did, and we did all that. But you know what? About 6 weeks into it, I found myself one day working the crossword puzzle during church. I know. I wouldn't do that sitting out here, would I? You need people. You need community. I'm not proud of that, but I learned, right? What I'm tended to do is to, like I do with the rest of TV, you know, listen to what I want and tune out what I don't. So, but it's not just in worship. It's taking community. It's taking the community of God out into the world, into Walmart, and being and showing those attributes of God that are woven into our divine DNA, right? That's the wonderful thing about being made in the image of God. You got divine DNA. Yeah, and that's something. Sick friends, going to funerals that you don't want to go to be with somebody. Volunteering, being open as you go through your neighborhood and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you about who you need to call on, check on, ask about. You meet them on the street. Our relationship with Jesus is personal, but it's lived out in community because God's essence is community. And that's where we learn about the attributes of God, is in community. So I've covered a lot. A little boring, a little headache inducing, I get it. But I had to preach a sermon on the Trinity before I die. So it's and you had to hear it, sorry. So Trinity's foundational to our faith. It's foundational to how we live. It reminds us we serve a very big God who created us for relationships. It reminds us that we live on this side of heaven to reflect the community of heaven. That's maybe the best way I can say it. We live on this side of heaven in order to reflect the community of heaven. And let's remember, it's not about me. It's not about you, right? It's about us together with God. It's what we do in worship every day. So when we think about our relationships that get difficult, think about those being God moments, right, to help us. Instead of giving up on the relationships, push a little harder for our little individual growth. We might look a little more like Jesus through that difficulty than not. So I hope, as you have me, I've learned maybe the Trinity matters more than I ever gave it credit for.